Show and Vern. Someone stepped up? Brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending, the fix and flip guys at kclend.com.
I'm not kidding. It's like last night. The good Lord said, Show, you've been so good. You've been so faithful to me. Baby, I'm going to give you one. I'm all around. Everything that you spoke about, I'm going to give you one. It was like the Lord stepped in. Like, I could have done 7 praise dances last night. I mean, Vernie just looked down. Are you ready for this today? He just looked down upon me and said, Show, I got you, baby. And if you didn't think I really didn't care, I'm going to go ahead and finish this thing going off with the cherry on top for you. Woo! You know what time it is, baby. Hey! No tattoo. Hey, Vern!
Show, good morning. Even in an instant classic, someone has to lose. And the Chiefs are the team to lose that game. They fall last night in Los Angeles as they play in the Coliseum and fall just short, courtesy of a questionable game from your quarterback.
I mean, it sucks right now. I mean, this plain and simple. I mean, you wanted to win that game going into the bye week against a good team like that, a playoff team. But at the same time, we still control our own destiny. If we can go out there and win football games and come back with that mentality that we're going to win and you can still get home field advantage, hopefully.
Before we get to anything, hey, man, what happened to Reggie Ragland last night? Did he play? Real quick, what the hell happened to 5'9 last night? Like, it took me about to the second quarter, and I was just thinking to myself, what happened to Reggie? Where was he? I kept seeing 44 all night. There was no Reggie. I saw Hitchens in there, but I was like, where's 59? And I know we said seatbelts, and we were kidding, but apparently we were right. Reggie Ragland must have paid a visit to Nia Jax. She was at the Survivor Series, the girl he loves from the WWE, the former women's champion. He must have been with her. And you said it, he won't have the legs after dealing with Nia. And apparently, Vern, you were on the money.
I didn't even see him on the sideline, let alone on the field.
No, I didn't see Reggie
My
at
man
all.
Was getting an IV. That's how depleted he was.
He didn't. Wow. He didn't play a second.
Need to step his Did electrolyte.
He? Oh, I'm up. Serious. Did anyone see Reggie Ragland on the field last night? Nia tore his ass up.
He's probably smoking cigarettes.
Whoever that was who initially sent in, oh my God, Ron, they've moved this game to L.A. and the WWE Survivor Series is there on Sunday. Because he had to have been there getting worked over by her.
And you know.
And she can work you over.
Bob Sutton, Andy Reid, the coaching staff, the moment Reggie Ragland walked into the locker room, they went, Reggie, you nasty son of a gun.
You know the nasty look. You can probably seep out that nasty. I know I can. You can seep out that nasty look Reggie had.
Coach 59 can't go tonight.
He can't go. Because this wasn't, you know, the normal young ladies that he messes with. This was all woman here. This was Nia Jax.
And you could see the shock she's on not like most face girls for what she just did to him.
Yeah. Because he went back for seconds. Because he got owned the first time, and you know he went back. And the second one's one that nearly killed him.
I'm worried about Reggie from here on out because there are.
You think he's fallen for her? Because that could be a real problem. Reggie's too smooth for that.
No, I don't think he's fallen for her. She messed him up.
But he may be falling for what she could give him. He seemed like a guy, not on the football field, but in other portions of life, that he's ready for a challenge.
A, she's not ready to calm down and settle down with someone like
Reggie. She's on the road too much. I mean, she's on the road too much.
But Reggie will be searching for what he got Sunday night for the rest of his life.
Because he'll never get it again. He will not be the same man. Unless he runs into Nia. Nasty-ass Nia. Seatbelt on all of this. But you're right. Who do you think saw it first? What coach spotted it first?
50.
Oh, you think it? Oh, I think it was Alan Bailey, who, by the way, I've never in my life seen more mad. He is the guy who is leading the charge of the players going to the strip club. Seatbelt. I believe 9-7 saw the look in his eyes and said, Reggie.
Damn.
That's that same look you had when you was 15 minutes cruising Nolan that one night. When you were stuck on Independence Avenue for 4 hours being nasty. Damn, Reggie. Reggie couldn't get a snap, Vern. Not a snap. I went through. It took me a while. Like, I'm serious out there. Protein House, Eat with a Purpose, text line 69306. How long was it before you noticed?
This morning about 8:30 when you brought it up.
I went through and I looked at the snaps and I said, where was 59? I'm not seeing his ass on any of these plays. Not a one. And we know why. We thought it was nasty Reggie, and it still is. But he got a hold of nasty Naya.
Taken down. Ball is loose. Picked up. Ebukam returns it for the score. Scoop and score. Rams.
Yeah, I mean, little things. I mean, every single game you leave plays out there where you think you can hit. Turnovers just changed the game. I think I gave them 21 points pretty much through turnovers. And just kind of like I said at the New England game, you can't give good teams points turning the ball over. So that was pretty much the changing point of the game.
Courtesy of ESPN, Joe Tessitore and company, and that was Patrick Mahomes. I do believe that Reggie came in with a thong Monday morning, and that was a dead giveaway. Because that's what she likes. The MVP race to me is over. And I told you how pivotal this game was, and Patrick threw 6 touchdowns, almost 500 yards passing. But I think the MVP race is over. Now, I don't believe it should be. And really, I still think Mahomes probably should have the edge. But what I have said is if this thing is close, they are looking for a reason to give it to Drew Brees. And in the biggest game, and I don't know if we heard seen the ratings out, but in the biggest games, his two biggest games, you can make an argument in the two losses that he cost his team the game. You can't have 5 turnovers like he did last night on the big stage. And 2 turnovers at the end, which people will remember a lot. Two interceptions to end the game, basically. And Brees has 1 turnover. He has 1 interception on the season. And in the big games, he was almost perfect against this same Rams team and just going off on them. Like I said, Pat had the yards and the touchdowns, but 5 turnovers on this big stage when Drew Brees is going to obliterate the completion percentage record. And it's not like he's not throwing the ball down the field. He is still in the top 3 in terms of yards per pass. And he's got 1 interception and another 4 touchdown passes in their last game. I think they're looking for a reason to give it to Brees. And I think the MVP race was decided last night.
You're right on the money with if it's close, they're going to give it to Drew Brees. We all understand that the MVP is voted on by writers and media members, those that can be easily persuaded via the narrative. And, man, you look at these schedules and it only furthers your point. The Chiefs maybe have 2 more big games, Thursday night against the Chargers, and then maybe that game in Seattle. You could look at as those are games that'll command the eyeballs of everyone coast to coast, all of those MVP writers. Man, the Saints' entire schedule. You got a Thanksgiving night game. You got a Thursday night game in Dallas. You got the Steelers coming to New Orleans in a pair of matchups with Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers. Everything lends itself to you being right, but show I'm done doubting this kid. What he did in Pittsburgh.
And I don't doubt him. I doubt the voters.
What he did last night throwing 6 touchdowns. I've said certain things are impossible enough with 15. Yes, the schedule is not to his advantage. But because the schedule isn't to his advantage, because the schedule does have the lowly Raiders on there twice, instead of dismissing those games as if they are contests that can't help his MVP candidacy, man, I look at him as an opportunity for him to throw 7 touchdowns in a game. I'm no longer putting a ceiling on what this kid might do over the course of these final few games. I'm not saying you are. I understand your point about Drew Brees.
Because they want to give it to him.
I've just seen, and you have too, we've seen this kid do too much where you go, are you, I never saw this coming. I never could have predicted this. I don't know what's in store for 15, but after that performance last night and the ability to learn that he has from the mistakes that he made last night, I can't wait to see what he does coming out of the bye.
No, he's going to put up numbers. His numbers have to be so far and away. And
without question, he's got to break the record.
You said he's got to break Peyton's record to even have a chance. But to me, if Brees continues on this pace, they're looking to give it to him. And if it's close, and if his team has the best record in the league, like they do right now, like I said, I think my opinion, I think Mahomes should probably still be slightly ahead. The turnovers you can't ignore because his two big games, like I just think these big games are going to stick out in people's minds, is they're going to remember in this game him throwing two picks at the end, him having five turnovers. And when you look at the Rams as thought of to be one of the best teams in the league, when you look at Brees' performance against the Rams and you look at Pat's performance against the Rams, Pat not only threw the two touchdowns at the end, but then had two turnovers that immediately led to scores in the game. He was sensational. That's too strong. You can't have five turnovers and be sensational. He was really, really good last night. And when you combine the fact that they're looking to give this award, as we talked about, it's like a Kobe Bryant Lifetime Achievement Award. They're looking to do that. Then I just think it's going to be really, really, really hard because I don't think Brees is going to do anything to – like, I don't see Brees having a five-turnover game. Like, I don't see Brees having a game where he just fouls it up, right? So I just think that's the tough part about it. I think Pat should be in it. He's deserving of it. And I think he's been one of the best players, and his numbers are amazing. But I just think this was a tough one. This was a performance with the turnovers they didn't need.
For him. Currently on pace for 54 touchdowns. The record is 55, so he has to have at least one more gigantic game.
Yeah, he does. And the Raiders and other teams are coming up where he could have that. All right, Vern. Let's not make him wait any longer. Even those that hate me, you know what you came here for.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
Hey, join us tonight out at Tanner's, 119th, 69 Highway for the Therese Paylor Show. Be starting at 6 o'clock. We have a lot of fun, and I got a feeling we're going to have some fun tonight. Me and Therese really took our relationship to the next level going to Monday Night Raw together, so it should be a change. We had some really good life discussions, so I'm amped about that tonight. Join myself and Vern as we'll be with Therese, the Therese Paylor Show tonight, presented by Bud Light.
Play action. He's going to wind it up. Downfield, a wobble.
Man, like I say, just trusting the process, man. You're going to have ups and downs in this game, and you just keep trusting the process. And like I say, it's all about team, man. You know, we go out there together and we get this team win. Can't do nothing about it. Thank you.
That is courtesy of ESPN, and that is my man.
That's right.
He is my favorite player in the league, and I have no qualms about saying that. And he saved me from getting a tattoo with the help of Scrap Heap.
I'm happy for you, man. I'm happy for you.
With the help, I believe so many did not, Paul Charchian. So many did not, Dana Hughes. So many, Billy Moss yesterday. So many did not believe. But I got this all night, Vern. And you saw tweets. We've got texts that come in right here. I even heard it on the post-game show that was great last night with Pete, Sean Barber, Kent.
Mike Wickett
from KMBZ. It was great. But I heard this a lot. Like, Ron, boy, you were cheering. just saw right now you were happy. I'm pretty sure Ron was going for the Rams. I'm not happy. I'm pissed. I know that you, some of you out there believe that there's a segment of the fan base that doesn't feel like me. Oh, there's a good amount right now. I'm not happy. I know one person that I don't see eye to eye with that is an avid listener to us that felt the same way that I did last night, I can guarantee you. Reggie from Anaheim. I don't think he was happy. I think he was pissed. You know what I'm pissed about? I'm not happy that Orlando Scandrick is getting burnt every week. I haven't seen a player in Chiefs history get burnt like this since Eric Warfield or your old partner. Like, I'm not happy about that. We're going to sit here and try to tell you that boy is terrible. I'm not happy about it. Much as you want to fight it, this team has a chance to win a Super Bowl and still does with this god-awful secondary. Has a chance to win a Super Bowl. Marcus Peters, that 22, should have been the one finishing the game yesterday for the Chiefs. He's not dropping that interception that Lando did. He should have been the one finishing. Yeah, I'm pissed. I've been pissed since it happened. The way it happened and how the Chiefs just effed that over. I don't care how bad he's been this year. He's been bad. There was one corner last night in a game where had maybe the two best offenses in the league. There was one corner that didn't get victimized all night. I watched. You know I did. Two catches against him. One for 4 yards with Sammy Watkins, who we will get to. And another on Travis Kelce. And I don't want to hear your disrespect. He was primarily on Travis Kelce, the number two option on this team. Now, all of a sudden, you say, oh, they put him on a tight end all night. It's Travis Kelce. He's the best tight end in football. And when he wasn't covering him, he cooked whoever the Rams had on him. One catch when he was facing Marcus Peters. We don't have a corner on the team that you could put on Travis Kelce and he'd only have one catch against. And I don't care how bad Marcus has been. I'm pissed. I'm not happy about it. He should have been on our team finishing the game. He should have been the one giving backpacks and school supplies to our kids here in Kansas City that need it. He should have been the one here giving turkeys for Thanksgiving for our people who need help in this city like he did for the Rams. He should have been coming up giving coats to people who are cold like he did last year in our city this year. He should have been the one giving random single mothers money to buy their kids shoes here in Kansas City, not in L.A. He should have been here. So, no, I'm not happy. I'm pissed. And no, this doesn't make you not a Chiefs fan because the way this went down was ridiculous. And I'll say it from the top. So, don't tell me, oh, you're mad. Oh, Ron, you are happy. No, I'm not. I'm pissed.
You got to be a little relieved, too, right?
Lando came through, boy. I mean, Lando, good God almighty. At what point did many of you watch that and say, oh, yeah, that's why Washington let him ride?
I thought you could have cashed your ticket at the end of the first drive. Like, I thought if you're betting over under, like, you won after the first quarter. That bet seemed to be like, you should have enjoyed that second half because you already won the bet by the second half. From the Protein House Eat With A Purpose text line, 816, if Marcus Peters did not get that interception, you would have gotten a new tattoo.
Yeah,
that was the only thing he did all game show, and it took a tip pass.
You're crazy. Once again, two catches on him. Two. Orlando Scandrick got absolutely teed off on repeatedly. You want to know why? You remember when ESPN came back from break and they had the camera right on his ass, and they said, hey, boy, they're really picking on Orlando. Orlando gave up two damn touchdowns in 15 minutes.
Lando looked like he knew the camera was on him, too.
Calm down.
Like, damn, you guys.
Yeah, but he looked nice. Like, people here are saying, oh, you know what? It was luck. It was luck that Marcus got that interception. No, I mean, it ain't luck. He's always around the ball. He's been around the ball since his entire career. He's got 21 interceptions in his career in 3.5 years. He's got 6 forced fumbles. He's got 5 fumble recoveries. He's got 4 touchdowns in his career. And ain't no accident that he makes plays and gets turnovers, because that's what the hell he's been doing since he's been in the league. So kiss my ass with that it was an accident or he was lucky. No, he's always around the ball. He's always been around the ball his whole career. Oh, I'm not happy, and neither should you be. Pissed. Newsflash.
Serta's Newsflash.
Late last night, the St. Louis Blues announced that Mike Yeo.
What are we doing? I know you're on one right now with Marcus and Lando, and you should stick that chest out a little bit right now. We just allow anyone to do newsflashes? I mean, I love you, Ketz.
Damn.
You are a tremendous worker. Dedicated worker. Great future. But hold up. It's Serta's newsflash.
Well, it's not. It's newsflash that he has forced his own name onto it.
Well, regardless, I think he's a little bit more difficult to replace than just newsflash. Here you go, any other voice. I mean, we have certain standards here.
Oh, we do?
I have certain standards here.
So what are you saying? Hold on. All right. Listen, as a great leader, as I am, I can listen to my guys. You feel like he should have to earn a newsflash?
Has he ever even been on the show, and now he's going to get?
He's yelled from the background. I've heard him.
Yeah, but you get one newsflash an hour. We're going to give him a solid 2, 8. Maybe 12 minutes of our show?
So you just...
And he's done nothing other than be the guy that they call when Serta isn't here? Again, I have respect for you,
Ketz. Protein House, eat with a purpose. Text line 69306. Should Jason Ketz have to earn...
A Serta's newsflash.
A newsflash. Stop calling it that. How long you think Serta's been up today?
Serta is so happy right now. He's got to be
about
listening
this.
To this. Because what else is he doing? He can't be drunk already.
All right, so he has to earn the newsflash?
I believe so, yes.
Bring it on. Let's go.
All right, I'll make an executive decision right now. All right, the 11 o'clock hour, the next newsflash, we'll have to see how he does.
Okay.
And then we'll see if he should continue.
I like it.
So at 11 o'clock hour, the newsflash.
You better be on your game.
I mean,
I swear to God.
Because it sounded like he was starting with hockey. And that's interesting, because that's not the realm Serta would go. So, I mean, that is interesting.
Was it hockey?
It sounded – I just heard St. Louis Blues, and I spoke.
Oh, yeah, they hockey. Fired their head coach.
Okay,
Shauna.
All right. See, he's already ruining it. All right. Executive decision. Ketz has to earn.
Serta's newsflash.
Newsflash. He done got you. Coming up. Mama Show. And if I know Teresa, she is fired up in 2 minutes.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
Oh, we're getting these in, 913. Can we stop talking? Can we talk about the amazing game? Stop talking about Peters. He was not the story of the game. Oh, stop, guys. Oh, hell no. Y'all been running laps around Daddy for weeks. Talking about Ron, you're going to get a tattoo. Don't say we can't talk about Peters today. He made the play to seal the game. Calm down. Get out of here. Whew. Let me calm down. My mama's on the phone. Mama Show Mondays presented by LC's Barbecue. If I know my mama, and she's coming up, happy 60th coming up real soon,
hey,
for Mama Show.
Right,
coming up.
Right.
If I know my mama, She was ready for this. Go ahead. What was your thoughts on that game last night, Mama?
Good morning. I'm wearing black today because I'm in mourning. I'm just sick. I wanted to tackle Andy like a sumo wrestler at the end of the
game.
Because he had a minute, a wrestler. He had a minute 40. I said, "Oh, this is Kate. This is Kate." I wanted to take that Chinese menu out of his hand and say, call a different play. Why are we throwing a Hail Mary when this kid didn't need a Hail Mary? He had plenty of time. I was livid. I had to put a pillow over my own mouth to stop screaming.
Why? There was no one in the house with you.
It doesn't matter. It was for. It was just for me. Let me tell you, the defense showed up. And I know Hines 57 is offering 57, catch up for life, but it's only if he gets touchdowns to his own team, not give touchdowns to the other team.
The defense gave up 40 last night. I don't exactly say they showed up.
No, the defense didn't give up 40.
Actually, they did.
The offense gave up 21.
Tell them.
The offense gave up. They scored 14. The defense didn't have to give up that extra 50 yards for a guaranteed touchdown, Mom. I mean, I get what you're saying.
Well, what I'm saying is I would have blitzed until he was looking up to the stars. I mean, because even McVay, with his smart self, he tried to help us out and not run the ball and gave Andy time at the end of the game. We either should have been in tie. We should have tied the game, or we should have been in overtime. One of the two, I didn't care. But I thought we learned something after that New England game. I don't want to hear Andy tell me we learned something again. I don't want to hear that again. That was we learned nothing. I think Andy choked.
Go ahead, Mama.
When the pressure is on, I think Andy choked. I think he need to give that play call
to who? Eric Bieniemy? Oh, Mom, I'm gonna hang up on you in a second. To give it to who?
Because at the end of the game, he choked.
They scored 54 points. They scored 51 points, Bob.
That's the reason why he hasn't won the big one, Ron. That's the reason why he hasn't won the big one. I'm thinking, what in the world am I supposed to do? I think he was turning around in circles like he didn't know what to do. Put that menu down and let that boy just do what he do.
Bye, Mom.
Okay.
Love
you. Okay, I got that out. I'm sorry. I had to get that out.
You just let it here. All right.
Okay.
All right.
Bye. You guys have a good day.
You too. Oh. Mama said Hines is going to pull the offer off the table. I said the ketchup for life is over.
Why she call that man's plate sheet a menu?
Chinese restaurant menu.
Why she call that man a menu? I was thinking, what kind of menu you think my mom thinks that he had on there? If we said Chinese. It looks like a patty melt. It feels like a patty melt menu.
What a great football game tonight in terms of just the competitive nature of the game. Guys responding back and forth, all three phases, special teams, offense, defense. You have so much respect for Coach Reed and the Chiefs. You see why they're one of the best teams in football. But I thought our guys did an outstanding job together tonight, just sticking together, staying connected, not letting the circumstances dictate the way that we responded, and finding a way to get a big win, and it'll certainly make our bye a little bit more enjoyable, and then we'll come back ready to go for the last stretch of the season.
That's Rams head coach Sean McVay. We tried to tell you this for weeks, right? And we've been on this on Show and Vern. There are things that we disagree with each other, but we've been on this. Everyone has thought there has been improvement with the secondary and the cornerback position. And we have been consistent in telling you, yeah, there's been some improvement. But it's really just because I believe that the offense's focus has not been on attacking the perimeter as much. And I don't think it has anything. Now, first of all, it has to do with those line of quarterbacks you played. But even A.J. Green was dominating all of the corners. For the Chiefs, they just haven't been the focus. The running game has worked so well and generally matched with keeping the Chiefs' offense off the field that's the way teams were attacking them. And then it's just good night with Nia Jax's love interest, Reggie Ragland, on the field trying to cover and Hitchens trying to cover tight ends and running backs. So that's been the attack, but we have been on it saying, listen, Lando is still Lando. As you saw last night in his first quarter, Scrap Heap is still Scrap Heap. Steve, who I think is showing and having an improved year, he's still going to get penalties. He's still not a lead corner. And why does Kendall Fuller keep getting his ass ran over? My God, that
he slipped.
I did. Oh, come on. Slipping. Yeah, he was slipping to his ass right to a grave, a football grave. But we've been consistent on this. When teams say they want to attack the secondary, they will be had. Just think it. Sean McVay, who I think is the second smartest offensive mind of the league behind Andy Reid. He has admitted as much stealing Andy Reid's place. He is the second most impressive mind in the game offensively. He's got the best, and daddy means the best, running back in football. He has got the best running back that is a receiver out of the backfield. Now that Le'Veon Bell is not playing, he's got the best receiver that's a running back out of the backfield, which is directly an issue for the Chiefs. What was his game plan yesterday? It wasn't Todd Gurley, and it wasn't because the Chiefs just stopped him. They did well, but they only gave it to him 12 times on the ground at three catches. He only had 15 touches. He decided, oh, let me attack the secondary. That should give it to you. The second smartest mind has Todd Gurley in the backfield. The Chiefs have been horrendous against the run and horrendous in defending running backs out of the backfield. He said, no, let me check on 2-2. Let me check on 20. And then, Bob, I didn't know you were going to start lining up Dan Sorensen one-on-one without any help in bump and run coverage. All right, let's take advantage of that, too. It's not been because the secondary has been better, that much better, excuse me. It's because they haven't been the focus.
Think about what – remember Phillip Rivers said he should have thrown for 500 yards.
Oh, hell, he wasn't kidding.
Remember when Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers fell behind and they said, all right, let's solely focus on throwing the ball. Remember those two plays where I don't know who the wide receivers are for the 49ers, but two of them were just wide open in the end zone. A.J. Green did what he wanted in the first half of the game against that Chiefs secondary.
Spun Lando's ass like a top.
And then when – Case Keenum and the Denver Broncos in that first game decided to throw the ball. If Keenum was able to throw the ball, man, they would have had one hell of a day. Now, the issue is unless Dee Ford and that defensive line
are making
noise.
And that's when you saw the change, right? Yep.
That secondary is endlessly exploited. You tweeted it during the game. All right, this secondary has no chance. It is on the D-line to step up or this game is over. The D-line stepped up, got the Chiefs into a shootout again, and then the D-line couldn't do it all because eventually
they got tired. They're on the field. They've got so many plays. Just think about it, man. This is Sean McVay. Only Andy Reid, I believe, in the league is the better offensive mind. He came into the game with the best running back in football. Fantasy, whatever. Charts always has him number one virtually every week. He came into this game with Todd Gurley and said, without Cooper Kupp, Cooper Kupp's out the game. That Josh Reynolds rap kid, he came out torching him. Doesn't matter. We want to attack the perimeter. Jared Goff threw the ball 49 times. They were winning in the second half the whole way. He said, no, not Todd Gurley. Let me check on these corners. Like that should creep in your mind you hit it, man. It's about those guys up front giving them, because they gave them time and it was over.
I believe it was Robert Woods who left the game for injury. And the announcers were going, well, looks like Woods is going to be out of this one. And I swear to God, a minute later, Woods is catching
Cooks,
about
a
25-yard post pattern, cooking the defense. No, the secondary is easily exploited by, I don't even know if it takes a creative mind, but a true offensive mind and a quality quarterback. Or better put, the kind of teams you're going to face week in and week out the second we get to the postseason. So unless Dee Ford and that defensive line stand on their heads.
Which it looks like they can be capable for a lot of stretches. But yeah, if they're getting 80, 90 plays.
I don't know about a full four quarters.
Yeah, it tires them out. But I'm just saying, man, like We said it, right? Don't let Josh Rosen, don't let Baker Mayfield, don't let Case Keenum, don't let them do this to you. Don't let them shake you up in those offensive lines. Don't let them shake you up like this. Because, man, these teams are choosing not to attack those teams. We said it. Whenever the Patriots decided, well, let me try the perimeter, it worked. Every time. And they just said, you know, we want to run it, but no, let's try it. It worked.
I think Andy's menu is more of one of those menus that's a placemat at the Greasy Spoon Diner that you also spill food off. You can spill food on. It's your placemat, but it also is a two-sided menu.
You think at any point Andy got hungry last night?
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
K-State got a big win last night against Missouri. Big win last night. But you also can catch them on our sister station on 980 on Saturday. And and also Rockers in the state championship game as well on 980 on Saturday over the holidays.
Yeah, they'll fight you. They'll fight you right to the end. I'm proud of them for that. And we have a lot of young guys. And, and we'll get better from this. We'll be a better team. It's hard to swallow right this minute, but we'll be better when it's all said and done.
That was Andy Reid. And listen, I'm going to tell you this.
Mama Show didn't want to hear that.
No. Reggie
didn't
just hit me up personally. Reggie, man, I am calling. Slow down, Reg.
Calm down, man.
I know it, baby. I love your passion. Reggie's got to be my favorite. I know him to calm down. But I'm sure Reggie felt this too, and many people.
You can't say you have a favorite.
Yeah, I can. I said one of them, so there could be a bunch of them. Goatman's in there. My man who let it rip on college football, Show and Vern against the World College Football Challenge. Mr.
Nurse
w,
Jen's got to be there. She brought you a damn keto salad.
Nurse Jen, I hadn't gotten to her yet. Andy Reid did something to me. When he lost it on the sideline, because sometimes Andy is a guy, you know this happens with fans. Sometimes it looks like he doesn't care. Or not that he doesn't care, but he's not into it. He doesn't show the emotions like you do. I've never seen Andy that mad. And that's when I knew, Andy's for real about this game. And even more than just this game, Vern, Andy's for real about this season. Andy smells it and sniffs like he this is it. Mm-hmm. And I loved his emotion that he showed. And sent, you know, you ever been in an argument with your girl and somebody or seen someone in an argument with a girl and somebody come over and she just tells you, shut the hell up and turn around and get away, because that's what he did to Jared Goff. Hey, get the hell on, dog. I loved every bit of it. I had never seen Andy be that disrespectful visually like that. And it did something for me. And it showed me, like, this ain't the normal Andy Reid. Like, Andy Reid feels this. I wish his decision-making in the offseason matched it. But Andy feels this. And his emotion fired me the hell up. And I think it was almost a turning point in the game. I think Fanning tweeted that out. A turning point was when he lost it. Like, he's always put together and generally buttoned up and control of his emotions. I loved it. I had never seen him so mad before. And I thought it was a big lift. And I think it shows how he feels and how serious he is about this year.
Keep in mind, Andy Reid doesn't cuss.
Oh, yeah, and he let it ride.
So I don't know what he said, but you can rest assured there were no cuss words in it.
Andy doesn't drink either. He probably has some Tito's.
Keep in mind, all of that happened in that whirlwind of penalties when the Chiefs had 9 penalties in 9 minutes or whatever the stat was. It's my opinion, because we've heard, as we are forced to listen to Bob Sutton and Eric Bieniemy every single week right here on Show and Vern Live.
Not this week.
That's true.
Woo!
But as we hear from both of them every single week, man, they are loyal. Eric Bieniemy will not say anything that could be misinterpreted as stepping on the toes of Andy Reid. They are very respectful, and I think that comes from a place of respect for Andy because he shows them respect.
Their coaching staff is very patriot-like, right? Their players aren't. But their coaching staff is very patriot-like, their control of their message.
So it's my opinion that Andy was so pissed off at Bob last night.
That was it.
And he took it out on Jared Goff.
And the official. He's probably pissed off at the officials a little bit, too. But it was Bob. He probably couldn't look at Lando in his face either.
Now, I do think the referees got him complaining that it was tipped, confused with him calling a timeout. So maybe that's where it's... The genesis of the genesis of that anger last night was, Bob, can you get your damn defense under control?
And then Bob said to himself, well, your ass kept me. Yeah, but I don't, whatever it was.
That's why coaches will ride or die for Andy Reid, because even when they're screwing up, he's yelling at somebody else.
Whatever it was, I loved seeing that emotion. And to me, like that single moment, his emotion, I've never seen Andy like that. In the 3-4 years that I've covered him here, I've never seen him with that type of emotion. And it really showed me, like, okay, this is serious. He's serious about this year, this team, in a way that we've never seen.
And they take the Rams to 10-1 as they go to the bye. Fireworks fly off the peristyle end of the Coliseum. Los Angeles, these are your Rams.
That's the LA Rams radio network. And I got to admit, we talked about this yesterday. We said, this is it. LA, if you can't get it going tonight, if you can't create like some star power atmosphere where it was like, hey, let's see, would this be like a big Laker game? Where the stars are coming out. It won't be an intimidating place, but where the stars are coming out. L.A., that atmosphere was great yesterday.
It was jumping.
Like, it was, and when it was coming down, the game was so good. But when it was coming down, I got to give props where it is due. That crowd was really, really great. The atmosphere was great.
A lot attitude. Of red.
Listen,
a lot of red in that stands.
I don't know about you, but when Joe Tessitore said, this is the loudest I've ever heard the L.A. Coliseum, I really believed him. And it was crazy. It felt like when I said yesterday, this should feel like a USC game at the height of USC with Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart and Notre Dame is there, or a big game against Stanford. It was that.
How many times has Joe Tessitore been to the Coliseum? Does he call a lot of games
there?
Yeah,
he used to call a lot of college football. Oh. That was what he was doing at ESPN. He's done a lot of boxing, but he also called a lot of college football. It was.
So we can take him because I don't know. And that was the first Monday night game in the Coliseum since 79.
Yeah, but I bet he's done a lot of, I think he's done a lot of USC games. And it was, but that atmosphere, man, was strong. Was strong. And it feels like it's something that could build on.
As long as they're
possibly
good. No, yeah. They'll never be.
They're not going to be the Lakers or the Dodgers.
Yeah, but football's different. It should be easier to support football. No, that was nice last night, and apparently it was the place to be seen. Apparently it was a big ticket, something worthy of getting there early, but that's not sustainable.
I didn't even know they were capable of it.
You're not going to see that very often in Los Angeles, and you'll never see that if they're not a great team. If they're not a 9-1 ball club, you're not going to see that kind of turnout.
No, so you don't think this is at all a catapult?
I didn't gain any kind of respect for LA fans last night.
Well, I gained respect for what they put on last night.
I didn't think they were capable
of that.
For what that game meant nationally. I knew they were building it up. But to see L.A. turn out like that and to see as much red in the stands as I saw last night, to me it just further reflects the gravity of Patrick Mahomes, this Chiefs offense, and that game last night.
I could hear our friend Brian Beshining talking about how awful the broadcasting crew was. And it wasn't a big game crew. And those were two things we were like, we got to deal with Jason Witten and Booger McFarland, two real first-timers, and Joe Tessitore. I could have used Gus Johnson or somebody else, a more big time thing. But then we also said, I wonder what the atmosphere is going to be like, and the atmosphere lived up to it. Like, the broadcasting crew may not have, but the atmosphere really lived up to it. And I was surprised that they were able to pull that off. I think it's time for us in Chiefs Kingdom to stand up and end the absolute dumbest thing that has been talked about with the Chiefs this year.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.